Praise God. I do want to mention this, and I don't want to show of hands, but if you've had ever in your life any difficulty with sin, or if I'm not going to ask for sure who's still having, anyway, or say I have trouble hearing God, then I'm going to recommend three messages to you. Well, first off, everything that Dave Roberson ever taught. But recently, Alan Taylor last Sunday morning, Nathan Varble Wednesday night, and Nathan Varble this morning. I'm telling you, it is. Angie, my daughter Angie, has been here a long time, almost as long as Sue and I. Just from Nathan's message this morning, she took 4 pages of notes. Okay? All right? I started to get mean there, but no, he won't let me. So, I really recommend those. Really recommend them. And I'm telling you, they're absolute truth, presented on a silver platter. You need them if you haven't heard them. If you heard them once, you probably need to hear them again. Well, let me put it this way. You need to hear them until you're doing them. You're not done hearing them until you're doing them. Is that okay? And, okay. All right. I think that's... really, really good. I've even had some course correction. Okay? I just mean I've been here a long time. I have had so many course corrections. Good Lord. You know, I'm still teachable. I'm telling you, I'm going to stay meek and teachable my whole life. I love how Dave has always said, don't stop praying the mysteries. There's a lot of things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we would already be in the revival. Because God's not withholding it from us. He's pouring it through us all that he possibly can. That scares me to death. It's true, but I hate it. That there's still so much Gary in the way. See? So when I mean course correction, I mean it. Hey, I needed to hear some of that again. I needed to hear it and search my own heart. Okay, I just want to preach Nathan's message right now, but I can't. I got to preach the one he gave me. Oh, yes, this is the other part. Now, I don't know what they're going to title it, but now, Alan's and Nathan's, these last two, really is focusing on the kingdom within. How you walk with your Lord. How you walk free from sin. How you follow the conscience that came with the new nature. And by you obeying what's already been revealed to you plainly in Scripture. Let me recommend an old message of Dave's. Get a job, lazy man. Okay? If you're not working. I love that. Oh, anyway. I love that. I just want to replay Nathan's. It was so, so good this morning. But those three messages really focus on you walking in the dominion. See, when it comes to you walking free from sin, you're never going to be more free than you were the day you got born again. And that doesn't mean you're not walking freer. But as far as God's concerned, when he gave you the new nature, you're free from sin. Now, learning how to follow the conscience, that's why God gave us teachers. And that's why I'm recommending those messages, okay? But those messages are really focusing primarily on your walk. Victory. And it's... you're not going to be free from sin. You are already free from sin. I see the same truth applies to your healing if you knew it. You're not going to be healed. By his stripes, you were healed. Now, it may take some re-education, renewing of the mind for you to walk in that, but you're never going to be more healed than you already are. Now, see, that's hard when you're walking through stuff. Trust me, I've been on the planet a while. I walk through stuff. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear it's God's fault. Not really, I don't. But that's kind of what we default to. Well, if I'm not healed, he needs to heal me. But you pray, heal me, and he'll just look at the stripes on Jesus' back and go, I already did. When are you going to receive what I've already done? Open your Bibles. Nathan got me fired up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn to Colossians 2:15 and Ephesians chapter 1. Did Eventually, we'll be in 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to get a head start. I've got to stay pretty close to this message today. The title of this one is The Time in Between. Oh, so I got to finish the statement. Their message is focused on the kingdom within, how you walk free from sin, how you can walk in your own healing, how you can walk in peace. There is a being led by peace. It's not like most people think. Nathan did it correctly today. But see, this message today, I'm talking about manifesting the kingdom without. Now, this is where you, as children of light, go into the world that still lies in darkness and set the captives free. This is where you go as the anointed children. Let me say it this way. The anointed offspring of the living God. The army of the Lord. It's exactly like World War II. When the armies came in and they found those concentration camps. What if I said extermination camps? Boy, there was a war. There was a war and a lot of blood was shed. But eventually the day came when the liberator came to the camp and saw all those prisoners on the inside, helpless to help themselves, kicked the gates down and said, "You are free." That is a picture of the army of the Lord. That is exactly Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. From God's point of view, every sick person is a prisoner of war, Christian or not. Did you hear that? Prisoner of war, because Jesus paid the price for Adam, not just Abraham. He paid the price for the entire species. He already bore every sickness, carried every pain. Where the liberators come to kick the gates of hell down. He said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." I don't know if you ever noticed, gates don't normally attack. You know, we had this picture of the Christians hiding from the devil. No, the Christians are the ones on the offensive. The prisoners are held behind the gates of hell. And those gates will not prevail against you when you know what you're doing. You're to kick them down and let the captives go free. In Jesus' name. But see, the church has been lulled to sleep. We got partial truth, you know. Partial truth. I love all of these truths. The reason I had you go to Colossians 2:15. How many of you know what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. The work has been finished, see? And so we sing songs, and we should, but we get in this attitude of like, well, here's Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and he did, didn't he? And he made a show of them openly, didn't he? Yes. Triumphing over them in it, didn't he? Yes. And we sing songs like that. He always causes me to triumph. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we could just go on and on and on. And we sing songs and we worship. And Christians are dying of cancer all around us. Reminds me of Nero fiddling while Rome burned. In here singing our songs. Prophesying to each other. And the enemy destroying God's children and the ones that he wants to be his children. And we're Bronk on a message recently said the church is like a toothless tiger, all roar and no bite. And I'm agreeing with that. No more is that going to be the case. Now, if you can't tell, Alan, Nathan, and Gary and Dave, for years we are raising the bar. Now, we're not raising it above where Jesus put it. We're not even close to where Jesus put it yet. We're trying to raise the status of the gospel, the word of God, to where Jesus put it to begin with. I love that he did spoil principalities and powers. But if you think the war is over, see, we're in a time in between now. So go to Ephesians 1. You got to understand the victory has been won. It has been finished. There is no more work for Jesus to do. It has been done. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. It's already been done. But enforcing that victory is another matter. Okay, Ephesians 1, starting verse 20. Said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now he's talking about Jesus. How many of you know you've been quickened and raised to the same place? Amen. How far above? Just a little bit above. Far above. All principality. Does all mean all? All principality and power and might. And dominion. Boy, that ought to get her done. And he's also far above, and so are you. Far above every name that is named. Is cancer a name?
Yes.
Is AIDS a name?
Yes.
Is the common cold a name?
Yes.
Is a fever blister a name?
Yes.
I'm trying to include it all here. I'm tired of compromising on anything. If it's of the devil, let's not have it. Okay? Every name that is named. Now get this. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath. Now is that past tense? See, you've heard 1,000 messages along this line. I know, I have too. And hath put. It has been done. The work is finished. Hath put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen? He's the head and you're not. You got that? But we are the church. We're seated in heavenly places with him at the right hand of God, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's do it again. Hold out your right arm. That Christ is in me. Christ is in my body. God is in my body. Christ is the head. I am his body. He works through this body by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isn't that great? We sing songs, and if I let you go home right there, they're still going to keep dying. Because you've heard 100 messages or maybe 1,000 already along those lines. Now, we're going to talk about the time in between here. If you've heard this taught, I never have heard it till recently. And I got preached to by the Holy Ghost. But it's in the Word. It's been in there the whole time. So now go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 21 through 26. We're going to look at. My goodness, I still hear pages turning, Dave. In 2017, there's actual Bibles in the house. It's not just fingers on glass, you know. iPhones and iPads. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Boy, now, pay careful attention. You got your get your antenna up. Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now notice, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. When he shall have. That's future tense. For he must reign till, that means until, he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, didn't we just read? I didn't tell you to pinch it together, so let me just, you know, is Paul confused here? Because here he's saying, he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. But in Ephesians we just read, and hath put all things under his feet. Now what's going on here? Hath or will? Past tense, future tense. What's he talking about here? For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. How many are glad about that? Let's go to one more. Go to 1 Corinthians. Okay, you know, you're still there. Let's continue in verse 27. That was 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now notice, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted. That's talking about the Father, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. See, when means at a future time, this shall be accomplished. Now listen, quit looking at your Bibles if you haven't read all that till now. How did Dave used to say that? It's rude to be looking at it now when I'm talking to you. You can look at it later. It's been in there all these years, okay. Listen, the victory has been won. And this win has been made certain to occur. Okay? But it is not yet fully manifested. You got that? This is the time in between. The victory has been won. Have you noticed the enemy is still killing, stealing, and destroying? Have you noticed that? Even though the victory has been won, the enemy has not stopped. So this victory has to be enforced during this time in between. What I mean in between, the time where the victory has been won, but the full manifestation of that victory has not been completely accomplished. And during this time in between, we are the enforcers. We are the church. We are the army. We are Joel's army that's come, just like Jesus did in Acts 10:38, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I like to say it this way. Every time he found a prisoner of war behind a gate of the devil, he kicked the gate down and set the captive free. And that's exactly what this army of the Lord is supposed to be doing. We're in that time in between. Even common sense will tell you this is true. It's obvious that Satan and his minions are still rebelling against the Creator. Can you tell? You know anybody that's got cancer, do you? Know anybody that's got a serious disease? Have you noticed there's still murder and theft and rape and every ungodly thing going on? Did you know that 2 Corinthians 4:4, you don't have to turn there. This after the resurrection, Paul himself says, Satan is the god of this world, little g. Little g. All right? Now, in the book of Acts, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, after, you could say after it's finished, after it's done, the disciples still had to cast out devils and heal the sick. Why? Because we're in the time in between. There is coming a new earth and a new heaven. Thank God there will be no more death. I love reading about it, but I don't like reading about it too much because there's nothing I can do to be there. Have you figured out yet you're not going to get to cast out devils in heaven? You're not going to get to cast out devils in this new earth where there's no sickness and no death? The time when this equipping for the army is for now. But the church has been lulled to sleep and we sing our little happy songs while the people are dying all around us. That's changing. And I don't mean just for the five. I thank God for the fivefold. I thank God for the men that have come and women. Amy Simple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman. I thank God for Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin. I thank God for every single one of them. But I'm telling you, that's not Joel's army. They're supposed to be, the fivefold exists for the maturing of the body, to nurture you. We're supposed to raise you up. I'm your servant. I'm one of your servants to help bring forth the word of God. Even if people get mad and angry, our job is to love you too much to care. You're not supposed to not quit disciplining your kids when they get mad at you. You're the parent. Now do it in love. One of my favorite songs, there was love in daddy's hands. Most of you too young to ever know that song. Sometimes daddy's hands was hard as steel. Boy, see, I can relate to that. O.R. Carpenter, trust me. Sometimes daddy's hands was hard as steel. There was always love. There was always love in daddy's hands. You can't quit because people get mad at you. We're going to raise the bar, even if the church hates it more than the devil. And I'm talking about the religious church, not this one. Church at large. Nathan, what did you do to me this morning? Stay real close to this. I've tried to teach this message about 3 times. And because I didn't stay close with it, I got off on something else. But I really feel him today is the day. This one needs to come forward. So I'm going to stay. Pardon me if I keep referring back to this, but I've got to stay on track. Even common sense tells us that this is true. We're in that time in between. It is obvious that Satan and his minions are still rebelling against the Creator, no matter that it is finished. Amen?
Amen.
All right? In the book of Acts, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the disciples still had to cast out devils and heal the sick. And we are on the same mission as Christ, to manifest the kingdom of God and push back the kingdom of darkness everywhere that we find it. The power to set people free from the scourging of the enemy has been given to all of us who follow Christ.
Amen.
Believers. Not just the fivefold. Believers, you have as much power and authority in the name of Jesus as any apostle. I like what John Alexander Dowie said. He was having so much success healing the sick. And somebody, and this was early in his ministry, got quite a bit off later. But early on, they said, "Are you an apostle?" He said, "I might be if I could ever get small enough." That's the right attitude. How many times did Dave teach us the way up in the kingdom is the way down? Do you know what Paul described himself one time? He said, "We apostles, we're like the under rowers." Under rowers. He's talking about the galley slaves on those ships that never, they're always down in the hold. They never got to watch the scenery as it went by. They never got to enjoy a break. They didn't even get to direct the ship. They didn't get to direct how fast they went, how slow they went. They're slaves. And Paul said, "That's who I am for you. I'm not here to have a good time. I'm here to bring you to Christ. Bring Christ to you." See, the world continues, even though it is finished. You know I believe that. It is finished. But the world continues to be held hostage by this defeated strong man called Satan. The church is Christ's body on earth. The church is his rescue and deliverance ministry. The church is to manifest the truth that God's kingdom has come and Satan's kingdom is defeated. Every room without a light is dark. Isn't that right?
Amen.
There is no dark switch. Darkness, You can't find a dark switch to put out the light. We do kind of laugh at that, but there's a revelation there if you can get it. Darkness has absolutely no power over you. If you're walking in darkness, you flip the switch. That's Nathan's message this morning. You chose. But that's internal. We're talking external. See, the whole world still lies under the power of the wicked one. That's in 1 John chapter 5. The whole world lieth in wickedness. But that word wickedness has got a masculine gender to it. The best translation says, the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. Well, wait a minute. I thought it is finished. It is. It absolutely is. He has been defeated, been made a show of openly, by Jesus. Now it's time for him to be made a show openly by us, the body. These are the truths that set not only you free, but sets the captives free everywhere we go. See, right now it is, and I heard this from Bronk first, and I'll give him credit this once. We have this time out. I love having fellowship with real believers, you know. And everything I say can be picked apart, so have at. But anyway, well, they're going to do it anyway. So anyway, Bronk's on vacation this week, you know. And we were sharing a few things before he went on vacation. And he says, man, I was praying this morning and I got 9 pages of notes from the Holy Ghost. I said, you're going on vacation? You know, you ought to send me those notes just for safekeeping. Like, I wouldn't preach them. No, just send them to me for safekeeping. His response, not on your life, brother. Gotta have some fun. Amen. But see, the church is Christ's body on earth. We are to engage and overthrow. Now, engage and overthrow evil powers. The church has almost got this mentality of, I'm hiding from the devil. That is not the church that Jesus birthed. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And he went on the offensive. Did you notice that? He went on the offensive. We're going to look at a few examples here in a minute. We are to engage and overthrow evil powers in precisely the same way Jesus did it in the Gospels. In truth now, it's really still him doing the same thing. But he's doing it through us now. The whole mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. Isn't that right? He's now working through us. But as believers, we are 100% confident in his finished work.
Amen.
Amen? But yet we understand that the warfare continues until that time that we read about a while ago when all of his enemies are made its footstool. Well, we're in the process of doing that right now. Amen? Why else pray, thy kingdom come? If it was already being manifested, like a lot of religion will tell you, I did a message a few weeks ago called The Heresy of God's Sovereignty. Now, God is sovereign. God sovereignly designed the plan of the gospel. Say, well, God does what he wants. He wants to heal the sick through your hands. He sovereignly chose that way and you can't change him. Why don't you just line up with what he sovereignly chose? We didn't write the Bible. He did. Amen? Yeah, he's sovereign. He sovereignly expects us to believe what he said and go lay hands on the sick and see him recover. And we sang that song, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Boy, let's quit singing it and go do it. Being led by the Holy Ghost. Get this morning's message. My goodness, it was good to revisit Numbers again about the cloud. Good stuff. Good stuff. Jesus said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth, just as it is in heaven. Let me ask you, are there any cripples in heaven?
No.
Is anyone dying of cancer in heaven?
No.
Is HIV running rampant in heaven?
No.
Let me ask you, are there any birth defects in heaven?
No.
Are there any blind people in heaven?
No.
Now, they may have been blind here, but they're not blind there. Amen? What he meant exactly what he said. The way God's kingdom is there, bring it here. This is a far cry from you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You really can't quit sinning. You've just been forgiven. Now, that's the devil's gospel if I ever heard it. And I heard it a lot. It's preached by well-meaning preachers. They're just wrong. They've been deceived by religion. For now listen to this. Listen to this sentence. For now, during this time in between, the kingdom of God is only established as the evil kingdom is torn down. Did you hear that? To walk by the person dying of cancer and do nothing? More coming on that. You're going to find that the rule of God is found. Where God's rule comes, it comes by you opposing the devil. The devil counts on the church believing the religious lies to accept the status quo as somehow normal and already being the will of God. If that was, and they have all these lessons. I heard many of them growing up. God may be teaching you something through this sickness. The timing of God. Yes, he wants to heal you. Just maybe not today. Just keep seeking him. That's all trash. All of it. You don't. I didn't bring that list with me. What if salvation was preached the same way healing has been traditionally preached in the church? Instead of saying, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're going to preach it like we preached healing, we'd say, well, you can call on the name of the Lord, but you can never know if it's will to save you. Or you can never know if it's his will to save you today. Come back Thursday. Maybe. Oh, well, now, he's teaching you something and you're in the middle of this lesson. Now, you'll never know for sure when the lesson's over. But you can't be healed till it's over. That's all junk, all of it. You don't ever find Jesus saying anything like that. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read this sentence again. The rule of God, God's rule is established when you oppose evil. The devil counts on the church believing the religious lies to accept the status quo as somehow normal and as being the will of God. And if that was the case, if that's really true, then Jesus went against the will of God every time he cast out a devil or healed the sick. The kingdom of God is established as the church overcomes evil by the power of God. Let's look at one example. Go to Luke 13. Luke 13. Now here it talks about this lady coming to synagogue. Well, that was the version of church that they had. You do know that even before Jesus came, God had already made a covenant with Israel. And he had told them, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there was a healing covenant in force. And this lady was going to her version of church and had been, you know, the synagogue. Had been going. She obviously loves the Lord. She's a daughter of Abraham. Jesus calls her that. Now let's read it here. Luke 13, starting in verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Stop right there. Now, not all sickness is a devil. This one is. You got it? This one is a spirit of infirmity. We're going to look at another one here in a minute. Well, maybe not today. But the withered hand, it doesn't say anything about a spirit being involved with that one. But this one, we're plainly told, this is a devil. Okay? How long had she had it?
18 years.
Sounds like normal church today. She was bowed together and couldn't in no wise lift up herself. She'd had that spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Coming to her version of church, synagogue, coming to worship God in the presence of the elders who knew there's a covenant of healing with God. God, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. But somehow the synagogue, the elders thought it was normal and okay for this woman to come for 18 years bowed over and go home in that same condition every day. Every week. And sadly, that's pretty much the picture of the church today at large. I had the honor. To me, it's an honor. I honor all of these men. Yonji Cho, if you don't know who that is, He had at one time the largest church in the world. I don't know if it still is today, but I got to go to one service on Yoida Island to Yonji Cho's church. I was so honored to be there. I didn't get to preach, but I got to go. The service, they said, well, some of their services are in English, but this one was going to be in Korean, but it's the only chance I had to go. I said, I'm going to go because I'll know if God's there or not. And I did. Oh, God was there. Trust me. God was there. But he told me to pay special. When I was seated, I got seated high up. There's a multi-levels, and I'm pretty high up. But the Lord brought to my attention this one section down on the floor. He says, I want you to watch, pay special attention. Because Yonji Cho preaches miracles and has miracles. Okay? They have a lot of miracles. But on that day, they wheeled in about 10, I'm going to guess, 10 to 12 people in wheelchairs. On that particular day, they wheeled them in. And at the end of the service, they wheeled them out in the same condition. And you know whose voice I heard? Dave Roberson's. Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. There's a lot of things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we'd already be in the revival. Now, three people got saved during that service. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Would thank God even more if all 10 or 12 of those people had got out of those wheelchairs. Because that's what Jesus would have done. Okay. So even in the best churches of today is what I'm trying to say. Very often you wheel them in, you wheel them out. They come in blind, they go out blind. That is not what Jesus calls church. That is not engaging the enemy. That is a toothless tiger. Amen? It's all bark and no bite. I started to say, that's why the devils go, ow, when Jesus cast them out. They got bit. Anyway, that's... Well, they got forced by the Holy Ghost. Ow! Got forced. Anyway, verse 11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. I can't... Do y'all meditate? 18 years. Bowed over. And she herself could not lift herself up. How in the world do you even go to church that way? How do you see where to walk? Coming in and going out. Coming in and going out. Loving God the whole time. Had a covenant of healing the whole time. Not one elder, not one Pharisee, as far as I can tell, at least we're not told, did anything about it. Verse 12. Well, I've meditated this so many times, I'm like there. You got to meditate it from every angle, people. I've put myself in the position of the woman. I've put myself in the position of the elders who didn't do anything. I put myself, tried to put myself in the position of Jesus. But when I cry like this, it's because one day I was meditating it from that position of that woman. When Jesus saw her, he didn't think it was normal. And he didn't think it was okay. And he didn't sing songs about the glory and not do anything about it. I want you to notice when he saw her. And that's all it says, when he saw her. He didn't pray about it. He didn't ask God about it. It says, when he saw her, far as he's concerned, there is a prisoner of war. There's somebody that the devil is scourging in my father's house, in the synagogue. This woman has a covenant with God. He mentions a daughter of Abraham here in a minute. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, now notice, remember, this one is a spirit. There's a spirit involved here. That's why he says it this way. He doesn't ask her to do nothing. He just announces, just like the liberator's coming and kicking the gate down and going, you are free. He says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And that devil, ow, I bet it had to, I don't know if it screamed or not, but I know it left. He laid his hand. Now, she couldn't raise herself up, and we did a demonstration with my friend, the big Holy Ghost guy over here, big Mooney, big guy. Because she couldn't raise herself up even after that spirit left. And notice how it worked. He laid his hands on her. Believers shall lay hands. Now, see, even after the woman left, she can't raise herself up. You be in that position for 18 years and see if you're going to raise yourself up. But he laid his hands on her. Now comes the ministry, the healing power of the Holy Ghost. He laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. Holy Ghost got a hold of her and whew, straight. She was made straight. She didn't straighten up. She was made straight. You're going to see some crippled legs made straight. You're going to see some crippled, twisted bodies made straight. You're going to see all kinds of things made straight by the Holy Ghost. Because you're not going to walk by like nothing's going on. Policemen are not supposed to drive by when they see a crime in progress. You can call for backup. It says call for the elders. You can call for backup, but you're still not allowed to drive by. And thank you, baby. That's my girl right there. Good preaching. Hallelujah. He laid his hands on her, verse 13, and immediately she was made straight. Glorified God. I'm tired of them having to glorify God in the wheelchair. Well, thank God they don't blame him. They ought to blame the church, though. I didn't get near enough amens right there. If there's any blame, it's not on God. It's the church. People glorify God when they get set free. And not just the one that got set free. I mean the people that see it. We could go to verse after verse that says, when they saw the lame to walk and the blind to see and the legs, the maimed made whole. Boy, the maimed made whole. As they watched, they glorified God. Well, they still will today too. Glory to God. And here comes religion, verse 14. I'm not going to do the toad thing today. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Can you imagine this person? Can you imagine? Here the woman gets healed. They have watched this woman come in and out for 18 years. They didn't do a thing about it. And in one moment, Jesus sets her free and the Holy Ghost heals her body. And this guy says, you shouldn't have done that today. Nope, this is a Sabbath. Just let her continue in her suffering. Religion will make you stupid. I'm sorry. I mean, I could say it better, but I don't want to. Religion makes you stupid. How stupid can you be and still draw breath? Watch this woman get healed and think God's not in it. Well, you did it on the Sabbath. And it was the ruler of the synagogue. Then the Lord answered him. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't call down fire from heaven? You remember when, who was it? Two of the disciples said, basically they wouldn't rent Jesus and his bunch a motel room. They needed a room to stay in. They wouldn't rent it to him because they saw they were on the way to Jerusalem. He says, you want us to call down fire from heaven? You know not what spirit you're of. This guy better be glad Jesus didn't call down fire from heaven. So the Lord answered him and said, thou, but he did, boy, he talked straight to him. See, this is Jesus love with legs? He is love to his, he is love, all love. And he says to this guy, you hypocrite. Love isn't always ushy-gushy. Jesus is trying to rescue that guy from hell as much as anybody else. When he said to the Pharisees, unless you believe I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He's trying to rescue those boys. Men. So then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman? If you meditate, you'll eventually be in the story, I'm telling you. And it'll affect you and you won't be the same. You can't hardly even talk about it. This woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Boy, that meant so much to Jesus. This woman has a covenant. She's been coming to synagogue for 18 years where they should have been preaching the covenant. But no, they just treated it like it's normal for her to come in bound by this devil and leave by this devil. I said, you hypocrite. Don't care about that woman at all. Ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Boy, Jesus wasn't confused, was he? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. Amen? He calls freedom from devils life. Freedom from being bowed over life. Shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed. Thank God. Thank God. I hope that guy wound up getting saved. Thank God he was ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Boy, that's what causes people to glorify God now. I'm going to read my notes here. When Jesus saw her, that is so important. When Jesus saw her, that's all he had to do was see her. When they came on the liberation camps, when they came on the extermination camps at the end of World War II, all they had to do was see the people inside the gates, held in bondage. They didn't have to radio to headquarters, they knew what to do. Blow the doors off those gates and let the people go. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. I have given you power. I'm going to say it the way in the Greek it is. I have given you authority over all the ability of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. People say, well, if I cast that devil out, won't it try and get on me? I like how Lester Sumrall said it. Flies don't land on a hot stove. That'll preach right there now. That'll preach. You understand that, don't you? Stay hot. Devil won't have nothing to do with you. That's Nathan's message again this morning. Stay hot. Keep that conscience pure and clean, holy. Devil won't land on you. He don't want no part of you. Not if you're going to walk like that. When Jesus saw her, I love this. This is a daughter of Abraham. This is a covenant woman. His father, Jehovah Rapha, had made covenant to be her healer. Yet the thief had broken into this woman's body and had her bowed over for 18 years. During all that time of her coming to the synagogue, the religious people of the day did nothing about it. They just considered it, well, this is just normal. This is what happens to some people. That attitude is going to die in the church. That is not normal. That is not normal. That is not the kingdom of God. I was reading again about, I'm still reading in T.L. Osborne. I hadn't read after him for years. I read years ago his book, and I'm rereading it again now. And I was reading from his daughter. Did you know he died at age 89? Not of sickness of any kind. He said, nope. He just was full of peace and surrounded by his loved ones. And his breath just left him and he went home to be with Jesus. Now that's the way to do it. You don't have to die of sickness. You don't have to. Die a martyr or just die by your breath leaving and go home. But sickness, no. Jesus saw her as a prisoner of war. In his mind, she was being held prisoner in Satan's concentration camp, being cruelly tortured by this spirit of infirmity day after day, day after day, for 18 years. While those who stood as, quote, ministers of God, did nothing about it. Notice Jesus did not pray about what to do. He did not ask the Father to heal her. In fact, you're going to find, the closest you're going to find to that is in the book of Acts, right at the beginning of it, where they were threatened and whipped to stop preaching in his name. And they counted it a joy and a privilege to be counted worthy to suffer. But then right there they said, "Lord, stretch forth thy hand to heal by the name of thy holy child Jesus," that they could have boldness to preach his word. They prayed it that one time. And from then on, that in the name of Jesus, stand upright on thy feet. They believe he answered that prayer. Okay. God had already made covenant with Israel. Jesus knew he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, with the Holy Ghost and with power to set the captives free. And where he's trying to get us to understand, that same Jesus is in you. That same Christ is in you. He's still doing the works through you. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Mark 16, right at the end of it. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. By the way, I have that word following at the end of this lesson. I'll just go ahead and give it to you now. That word following, where it says the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following, it's the Greek word, oh Lord, it's G1872. I'm not even going to try and say that. It's EPAKOLOUTHEO. You say it. Epakaluthio, or I don't know. But it means, it does mean to follow, but the first meaning is to accompany. To accompany. These signs accompany the word. When you see it, when you preach it, he demonstrates it. I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with power and demonstration of the Spirit. Got another verse confused there for a moment. Words are good. We're supposed to preach the word. But these signs are supposed to accompany the word. That only works for believers. Hello, believers. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Are you hearing any word of God today? We're raising the bar and you're raising with it. Amen. Say it with me. Say it with me again. I am God's child. I am man's servant. I am Satan's master. When I speak, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. Lord, even the devils are subject to me through thy name. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Because you've given me authority over all the ability of the enemy. I tell him what to do. He don't tell me what to do. That's bad grammar, but I did it on purpose. You remember it better. He don't tell me nothing. Don't tell me. Amen? Hallelujah. With authority. Now, is Jesus the author and finisher of our faith?
Yes.
Is he the pattern?
Yes.
Are we supposed to follow him?
Yes.
Okay. With authority, he took action. And he declared the proclamation of freedom. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and then she glorified God. Now that's Jesus doing it. We see him doing it himself. Now let's look at Peter doing it exactly the same way. Go over to Acts chapter 3. He learned from the master. He's doing exactly the way he was trained. And if the church will start learning from the master and doing the way we are trained, we'll have the same results. Remember, the gospel is the power of God. You don't have to make this work. The gospel is the power. The Lord makes it work. The Lord working with and confirming the word, or you could say confirming the gospel. But the Lord can't preach it without our lips. He can't lay hands on the sick without our hands. Acts chapter 3, pick it up in verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, say birth defect. This guy has never walked. You got that? Bird legs. Meditated on it, bird legs. I was paralyzed with polio on my right side when I was 5 years old for 6 months. I mean, I know what it is to lay there in bed and you can't even close your right eyelash. I mean, nothing on that right side worked, nothing. And I could make my left hand do anything. I could make my left side do anything. You send those same signals from the brain to the right side and it don't do nothing. And I was that way for about 6 months. My legs, by the time that was over and I started getting better, my right leg was so atrophied, it looked like a little bird leg. You know, you walk like this, you know. It took a while. Can you imagine what this man's legs look like? This guy was lame from his mother's womb. They had to carry him there. He couldn't even walk there at all. Bird legs, I'm telling you. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So what is he asking? Is he asking for healing? What's on his mind? Money. So whatever happens here is not based on his faith. Okay? He's asking for money. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. He didn't ask them to be healed. He's begging. He's doing what beggars do. He's asking for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What was he expecting to receive? Money. Thank you, money. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Do you see him asking God to heal him?
No.
Do you? You don't see it, do you? Do you see him praying about it? So when he walked by, it was just like when Jesus saw that woman bowed over. He saw this guy lame from his mother's womb, and he goes, "That's the devil." Not the guy. The condition. This man is a prisoner of war. This is not the way it is in the kingdom. There are no cripples like this in the kingdom of heaven. I got something for you, all right. In the name, I have something for you. I left my wallet at home. I don't have any gold and silver on me, but I have something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now look, he took him by his right hand. Don't miss that part. That's laying on of hands. Laying on of hands, we've been traditionally taught in the church, yeah. You know, you got to put your hand right on their forehead, you know, and no. You're going to find, if you really study, you're going to find out more often than not, they took them by the hand. Just took them by the hand. It's a transmission by contact, transmission of life from the inside of you to them. And it's done by the power of the Holy Ghost. He just took him by the hand and lift. You know why they're always saying, do what you could not do? Because that's the way Jesus did it. I don't know if we're going to get to the withered hand, probably not today. But the withered hand guy, the guy's got a withered hand. I mean, I don't know exactly how it was, but it's withered somehow. What does Jesus tell him? Stretch it forth. And in the natural, you'd be going, I can't. See? But and that one was not a devil. That one was some kind of birth defect or something. So Jesus, in that case, he didn't command the devil. He gave the man a command. Do the impossible. By the way, when you hear from him, very often that's the way it's going to sound to you. Do the impossible. But the man tried, and that's all that the Holy Ghost needed. Even though it's impossible, if the Lord says it, you do it. Even if it's impossible to you, you start, and whew, the Holy Ghost does the rest. And the man's arm was made whole. That good stuff or what? Whew, let's finish this one. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him. Now, no, lifted him up. Peter's putting some force with this. He's putting some working of miracles. He's working here. Get up. And immediately, well, if you underline, that's getting to be one of my, immediately and suddenly are becoming two of my favorite words. I thank God for holding fast your confession that you prayed today and your answer comes later. Thank God for that. Jesus cursed the fig tree, and when he walked away from it, it didn't look any different. 24 hours later, it was dried up from the roots. Your words have power. But there's also times like this one when immediately, I'm believing for the immediately. Let's go for the immediately. I want to see the cripples get up. And see, this is why I mentioned the bird legs. It had to look impossible to Peter too. The guy's got these little bird legs. And here Peter's lifting the guy up with, even in the natural, you'd think there's no way the guy can stand. Well, in the natural, he couldn't. But Peter's not being moved by that. He says, I prayed for you in the name of Jesus. Now get up. Takes him by the hand, and there's a transmission of power right there. That's laying on of hands. And notice how it's worded. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I don't know whether they fleshed out. I don't know whether they watched the calves expand. I don't know. But whether it did or not, there was strength to stand. And he not only stood, he leaped. Little bird legs leaped up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping. Do you care if I say jumping? He's jumping, man. He's jumping. The guy has never even walked, and suddenly he's jumping. And again, notice, praising God. He was a beggar before, not a beggar anymore. Praising God. So let's review here a little bit. Now Peter saw him. Remember when Jesus come in, he says, when he saw her. When Peter saw this guy. It's a good pattern, right? Comparing apples to apples. All right. Peter didn't ask the Father what to do. He did not pray for the Father to heal the man. Jesus had already told them. Now we've read this so many times. John 14. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now here's the difference. Peter believed that. Peter acted on that. And Peter had a manifestation of that. We're going to follow in exactly those same tracks. Because he said it to us as much as he said it to them. We're going to believe it, act on it, and have the same results. I've seen it here. I saw a crippled man that the doctors had done everything they could. And they said, there's nothing else we can do for you. This was a long time ago. He was in a wheelchair. The reason I'm pointing there, he's in a wheelchair right about there. Dave prayed for the guy and then went on doing other things. And that guy was like drunk. Y'all remember? How many was here that day? He's seeing stuff none of the rest of us are seeing. I mean, he's looking around. And all. It's almost like he didn't even know what he's doing. Suddenly he stands up out of the wheelchair. And he starts walking. You were here? He starts walking slowly like, where am I? What's going on? I don't even think he knew what was going on. And he walks. He winds up walking all the way around. The next week, he came back and gave his testimony how the doctors had done, if I remember right, 3 surgeries on him, and they couldn't do anything else. We've seen it here. Thank God. Now, you need to see it through your hands. That's the difference now. That's where we're going. You need to see it. I need to see it through my hands. You need to see it through your hands. We are Joel's army. There's more in that prophecy than just tongues. There's an army rising up that cannot be stopped. And it's not just one king cockroach doing the work. It is an army that has to be compared to like locusts, because we're going to eat up everything the enemy has done. That's the army of the Lord that he's raising up. And you have as much right to the name of Jesus as anybody else. You got Christ on the inside of you as much as anybody else. You got hands on the end of your arms like anybody else. Hallelujah. I am preaching good. I give myself the white hanky, but I don't have one. But anyway. Jesus had already told them and us, whatever you ask in my name. Now, you notice, Peter, though, how do you ask? See, if you really study that word ask, it can be like a petition, or it can be like almost a command. We're not commanding the Lord, but you command sickness, or you command God's will. You're commanding God's will to come. See, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So you, in the name of Jesus, rise. This is what you do now. This is demonstrating the kingdom. So Peter gives the command in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter took him by the right hand, and that's laying hands on him, and lifted him up, and the man received his miracle. Peter knew who he was as a disciple of Christ. Now, Peter was not perfect. I'm telling you, this is early on. Years later. I'll just tell you the truth. Now, at this moment, Peter still believed only Jews could be saved. That's not true doctrine, is it? But that's what Peter believed. Amen? Years later, he got caught up in the dissimulation when James and the apostles came down to the region of Galatia. You remember that? Paul had to correct Peter to his face. What I'm saying is, I love Peter, but Peter's not perfect. Hallelujah! This is great rejoicing. God worked through Peter and he's not perfect. Hallelujah! If you haven't shouted any other time today, please shout now. Hallelujah! He works through imperfect people. Hallelujah! Excuse me. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Woo! He saw the lame man. When Jesus saw that woman, he saw her as a prisoner of war. When Peter saw that lame man, he saw him as a prisoner of war. And he didn't just walk on by. See, this is what the church is supposed to be doing during this time in between. There is coming a day when all rebellion, even the devils, they're going to be cast into hell, eventually the lake of fire. All rebellion will be done, but we're not there yet. We're in this time in between. And our job is to enforce this finished work of Jesus, not to just sing songs about it. Thank God for singing songs. I like to worship and sing like anybody else. You just don't want to hear me sing. But anyway, but I don't want to be a toothless tiger. Right, right, right. Bless God, I'm a believer. Say it with me. I am a believer.
I'm a believer.
I believe every word of Jesus Christ.
I believe every word of Jesus.
He is the truth and cannot lie. And I believe it just like he spoke it. And I obey every word of it. And I have the same results he said I'd have. I can't read that passage without getting this one now. Verse 12 of Acts 3. Because the people all saw it and they started making something out of people. See, this is part of why praying in tongues is so important. Because immediately they wanted to make a god, make something special out of Peter. When the people saw it, ooh, you special. Verse 12, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us? Now get this, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk. Go on down to verse 16, we're about out of time. And his name, through faith in his name. Now, don't be like the seven sons of Sceva. We adjure you in the name of Jesus that Nathan Barbel preaches. We adjure you in the name of Jesus that Dave Roberson preaches. No. You speak to devils in the name of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. The one who lives on the inside of you. The one that the Holy Ghost enforces his power every time you speak in Jesus' name. That's who you are. Now, we are in precisely the same dispensation as Peter in this story. This is after the resurrection. This is exactly the same dispensation that we're in right now today. I got all these scriptures here. Peter's job was to not only do the ministry of Jesus, but to proclaim the gospel and train other disciples to do exactly the same thing he was doing. See, and that, don't turn there, we're out of time. But Matthew 28, when Peter, among the 11, Jesus is speaking to them, right before he goes up to heaven, he says, go you therefore and teach all nations. That means Gentiles, Peter. Well, anyway, I put that part in. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, get this, teaching them to observe, that means do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I taught you, you go teach them. Got it? Now, in Mark 16, given that same commission, we'll just come down to the end of it here. It says, Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, it's really the same event, but Mark records some things that Matthew didn't. Matthew records some things that Mark didn't. Anyway, Mark's account says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Who? You're supposed to go teach. And then those who believe what you teach. Hello? Hello? That's us. They will lay hands. All of this stuff. They shall cast out devils. I told you. Even the devils are subject to you in his name. Not just the 11, the ones that the 11 taught. Or are still being taught. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And this started off saying that these are all signs. It's signs to the lost world that Jesus truly is alive. And he lives through you. And it's the same Messiah, the same Christ, saving and healing and delivering today. So then after this, so after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with and confirming the words with signs following, which really means accompanying. Look it up for yourself. Strong's G, 1872. It is truly Jesus still doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Twice in John 14, Jesus had promised, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And this is what the church, believers, this is what we're supposed to be doing during this time in between. It is finished. There's no more work to be done. The work has been done. The day is coming when all rebellion, everything will be cast into the lake of fire. But during this time in between, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the army of the Lord to establish his kingdom and drive out darkness everywhere that we find it.